Right, so 2 weeks ago, Nas preached on the day of Pentecost about God, you know, the promise of God's presence and the fact that we have received the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit lives in us and dwells in us and are with us, and how the Holy Spirit empowers us and walks with us and teaches us so much. And then Pastor Heinrich also last week just shared a powerful message encouraging us to think of those four things that I can't remember. The first one is I am, and I will worship. I can't remember now in the sequence, but to me it was just so powerful just to have that moment where I can just again reflect and think about, you know, even the presence of God in my life at the moment. And as I was preparing last week and this week for today, I think the flip side of it was just what the Holy Spirit was just laying on my heart in that as my sermon title is, Life and His Presence. You know, life will happen. Stuff will happen. We are in life right now, but yet His presence are there. And how is His presence relevant to our daily walk here? And I think this is to me what is challenging is, how do I go through this life with the presence of God, you know, in my life? But I want to read to us Mark 4. We're going to pick it up at verse 35. And it reads us the following. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. Verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What a powerful story. And I mean, as I was reading this, you know, I was just going, wow, this is such a significant story. And I know, you know, you probably heard quite a few messages in the past about this, but can we get into this picture? The disciples, you know, that Jesus has been preaching, he's been teaching the people, and he gets to the end of the day and he says, okay, guys, let's get in the boat, let's cross over, you know, go to the other side. And then they get into the boat and a bunch of other people get in their boats and they go. Now, what we need to understand, these are people that are familiar with the sea. They understand the sea. They know, you know, when the waves and the wind came, they know what to do, etc. So yeah, they're going, you know, it's a nice ride. It's quite comfy, you know, rustig, and it's beautiful. And then suddenly this wind comes up. Now, if you are a seaman, and I'm by no means that. I mean, you put me on a lake on a little boat, and I'm already green. But these guys knew what this is about. They understood the sea and so on. So they knew when this wind now is coming up, there's problems. And suddenly the waves are getting bigger and the water are coming into this boat. And it's starting to be chaos. I mean, obviously, if you're in that boat and there's water, you know, you always want water outside of the boat, never inside the boat. But now they have water inside the boat, so they've got buckets and they're chucking out water, you know, so they just like everybody's going crazy and everybody's grabbing stuff, and you know, the last thing they want to do is sink. And it's not just them, it's the boats next to them, and everybody's in chaos and screaming, and it's you know, we're gonna drown and we're gonna die. And if you've been on a boat many times, I'm sure you will know when you're gonna die. I just thinking of we just got to Cape Town. Was it just over 20 years ago? And I was sitting in my car in Bloburg, and it was a very windy day, and there was a big oil tanker just lying there, left Robben Island. It was lying there, and the waves were coming and going, and this boat was doing this. And the interesting thing is, I noticed, you know, the boat going up, and as the boat went out down the other side, the propellers and everything was out of the water. So from this side, I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's a nice wave. The guys in the boat knew this was waves. I mean, for the propellers and stuff on an oil tanker to be in the air, that is. And I was like, I like the land. You know, I'm just going to stay here. But here's the disciples. And I mean, just think of, you know, you on this boat. The waves are crashing in and everything. And then suddenly you notice, but there's Jesus and he's sleeping. How can he be sleeping? I mean, does he not realize that you're drowning here? So I mean, obviously, you're now a bit miffed. And you walk over to him. And you go like, excuse me, Jesus. Wake up. Don't you care that we are going to drown? We're going to die? You know, it's like, I mean, I would probably be like really angry going like, man, bring your cunt. Get with it. Come help. You know, we need all hands on deck to. And I can just imagine Jesus waking up there, you know, looking at me, goes like, yeah, Kobus. And then I'm just like, nee man, nee. Dis nie reg nie. Ons almal moet help. You know, we need to save this boat. We need to get this thing. This is serious, man. Now, I knew Jesus because I've seen him heal sick. I've seen him do some miracles. I've seen him, you know, drive out demons and so on. But this is a different situation. We are sinking. This is not good. So I'm waking up and I go and I'm like, get the bucket. And I'm somewhat tossing my bucket as well. I'm like, you know, help with the boat. You know, we are drowning. And Jesus gets up and he takes this slow stroll to the bow. I understand that's the front of the boat. And as he's walking, I'm thinking, rarig, do I now have to have this attitude in my boat? So he takes this slow stroll and he looks at me and I'm frantic and I'm getting water out of the boat. And he walks up to the end and he goes, peace, be still. Now I'm thinking, he's speaking to the waves. What is wrong with this man? Really? Is he? I mean, come on. Why is he standing on the end? We're drowning. Can he not see we're drowning? And he's going, shush. Imagine my shock and my horror when suddenly everything goes zoom. And it's quiet. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is happening here? And then his words come. He turns around and he says, why are you so afraid? Now, I don't know about you, but I would have a lot to say right there in that moment. I would, excuse me, Lord. Did you not see the waves? Look, the water is still in the boat. There's a fish too. We're going to have him for supper later. But this is crazy. Why do you ask that question? How can you say, why are you so afraid? That would blow my mind. Yes, Jesus, how can you ask this question to me? Why are you so afraid? I mean, I've got evidence. If this was a court of law, then I can present the evidence why I'm afraid. This is crazy stuff. And then I think this question cut right through their hearts, and he says, have you still no faith? Now, I probably would have been fine till up to that point. And then he would say, have you no faith? Why do you still have no faith? Now, if you go read the book of Mark, the interesting thing about the book of Mark is that he doesn't start off with the birth of Jesus, etc. He sort of picks up, you know, where Jesus is coming into the scene, getting baptized, and he's calling his disciples, and his father speaking from heaven as he's baptized. You know, it's like Mark is on this agenda to show us the glory of Jesus and the godliness or godlikeness that he's walking in. And in that first three chapters, you know, he speaks about a paralyzed man being healed. He speaks about people, you know, being demon-possessed and being freed. It says that Jesus healed a few people. So this is the context now where Jesus is speaking from, where he's, you know, his disciples have had some interaction with him. And he says, have you still no faith? Because they've seen him. And I probably would have said, yeah, but Jesus, I've seen you heal a sick, cleanse a leper, you know, cripple man, walking again. I've seen you done some pretty amazing things, but this is next level. I didn't expect to see this. Now in this chaos, we see Jesus showing his authority over nature, where even nature has to obey him when he speaks. And the scripture says they were filled with great fear, and they had questions in their mind of, who is this man that can do such a thing? And I can only imagine the conversations that was going out on in that boat as they were pursuing to go to the other side. And I mean, I've heard sermons in the past, and they said, Jesus didn't say, let's go and die in the middle. He said, let's go to the other side. And I think probably that was the reason for his question, is because he knew where he was going. And I think he maybe stood there after he spoke to the waves. He's like, really, guys, do you think I'm going to die? I'm not done yet. I need to do what my Father wants me to do. And here's Jesus showing his lordship and his majesty in a very physical way to his disciples. And I can just think their lives would have never been the same after that encounter. Now, I don't know about you, but in my walk with God, I had moments like that where God just pitches supernaturally. You know, and it transforms my life. It completely, you know, where I thought, this is it. I'm going down. God just pitches in an incredible way. Now if we look at the story, we need to consider our own lives, because the reality is we're going to face many storms in life. We're going to face stuff. I mean, are we not facing something right now? Are we not facing so much uncertainty of what the future holds? You know, the water is coming in the boat. It's day 80, for goodness sake. You know, we are not doing financially as well as we can, etc., etc. You know, what about my family, my health? You know, am I going to get the virus? Am I not going to get the virus? What happens if I get the virus? There's so many questions. The storm is raging at the moment, and everybody's going like, we need buckets, guys. We need to throw out water. We need to do stuff. We need to save the ship. Come on, everybody, hands on deck. So the reality is, like these disciples, we will face storms. Like these disciples, we're going to try and save ourselves. But we can only do so much. We can only do so much. You know, in May, what Jesus said to the disciples, and I think this is even as I prepared this week, I think Jesus' words cut through everything. Why are you so afraid? And then I'm like, Lord, but this is real. I mean, this is real circumstances. There's people that are facing financial ruin. There are people that are struggling, not maybe physically, but mentally. You know, there's so much going on at the moment, and you say, why are you so afraid? And I have to consider that, because this is Jesus speaking. And he's not confused about the situation I find myself in. He's not, you know, confused or concerned even really with the waves that are breaking into my boat. He's not worried about dying at all. He's fine. He's in the boat. And he's got a plan. And he's got a mission. So why am I afraid? And then obviously the second part is that, have you still not faith? Have you still no faith? You have seen what I can do. You've experienced me in your life. Why do you still not have faith? You know, and that touches my heart deeply, because I think to hear that from the Lord is the last thing that I want to hear from Jesus. And if you look at the Gospels, so many times Jesus says to his disciples, you have little faith. And may we not be those people right now. May we be the people who have strong faith. Again, I'm so, can I say, surprised. I'm struck in awe when we started this year and God said to me, this is going to be the year of great faith. And I knew this is going to be interesting because when Jesus says that we need to have faith, it doesn't mean we're going to understand what's happening. And here we find ourselves in a storm. And I hear so many people that are afraid, that are asking questions, and real questions. It's not that the questions are not real. It's you know, and then I see this and I go like, what, Lord? I need to have faith. I need to have great faith. I need to have strong faith. I need to trust you, sleeping in the boat in the middle of a storm, that we will still go to the other side. And that challenges me incredibly. You know what's even more scary is the fact that I don't think that standard or that question stopped with the disciples in the boat. I think that that expectation of Jesus towards his disciples to have faith and to not be afraid still stands for us today. He still expects us not to be afraid. He still expects us to have faith. Why? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit, the guarantee. Like we saw on the day of Pentecost, God said, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit to teach you, to guide you, to instruct you, to walk with you, to journey with you. Man, I've got the presence of God right here with me, and he's not asleep. He's living in me. He's dwelling in this temple. How can I be afraid? How can I look at the waves and go like, oh God, where are you, when he's actually walking with me? He's dwelling within me. He's abiding in me. When his presence are so tangible, when I close my eyes and I speak to him and I know, man, he's standing right here next to me. How can I be bothered with the circumstances around me? How can I be afraid when I'm a presence of the Holy God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You know, the only way that that can happen is if I don't have faith. If I choose to have fear and not faith, that's where my boat will sink. What happened to Peter when Jesus, you know, he said to Jesus, Jesus, if it's you, call me out and I'll walk on the water. Man, I respect Peter. Just getting out of the boat already, I would have been like, nee, wach a bicky, he's higher. You know, my mind will just go the extra mile. And he goes like, Jesus, if it's you, call me. And he gets out in the middle of that storm, in the waves and everything, and he walks on that water. What an experience that might have been. And the only reason why he stopped walking on water is he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the waves and he was like, oh, gods, this is a groot golf. And he became fearful and he sank. And he would have died if Jesus did not grab his hand and pull him out, and they got onto the boat. So reality is, you know, my perception, my view from my circumstances at the moment might be a raging storm. It's just waves, it's water, it's in the boat, we are sinking. Yet the presence of God is right here with me. And I will die at the appointed time. I will not be ruined unless he allows it. And I definitely will be ruined if I fear. But then it's not his fault. Then it's my fault. You know, it's one thing we cannot do is trust in our own strength to bring us through stuff. I've seen so many times. And you know, saints, this is one thing that I've learned in my journey with faith is faith, the times that I really walk by faith, it never makes sense to me. I can never figure it out. But I've got this trust and this hope in God, and then the way he orchestrates my circumstances is never like I think he should. He brings breakthrough. He brings deliverance. He brings stuff in the weirdest ways possible. But I just see the glory of God in the way that he comes through for me. You know, and I'm walking with you in the midst of this uncertain times. And listen, do me a favor. Don't call this the new normal, because this is not normal. We want to see God restore what has been. I'm not receiving that. Sorry. There's going to be new stuff, but this is not my normal. Sorry. And we need to, at this time, call those things that be not as though they were, you know. And I want to share this at this point, because about 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit really started stirring in my heart that we need to, as the saints, start resisting this disease in the spiritual realm. And we need to speak against it. We need to declare God's purposes for us in the midst of this. And I really feel, saints, that if we as God's people are going to be silent, this disease is going to linger longer than it should. So I want to encourage you to prophetically, powerfully stand and declare God's goodness into the heavenly realms. Do not declare the Facebook post or the WhatsApp thing that you have. Get God's word. Declare scripture into the heavenlies and declare God's goodness into the heavenlies, and let God show himself strong for us at this time. This disease has to go. It is not from the Lord. The fear that comes with it just tells me this is way not from God. And we need to resist it at this time. But you know what is more incredible or absolutely amazing to see? If you read Mark and chapter 4, you know, you see him demonstrating his power over the waves and creation. And then in the following chapters, and I just want to quickly go through this, but we see Jesus doing a few things. Now, I'm not saying this was intended. Well, it was by the Holy Spirit to be written like this, okay? But I just noticed this. Sorry. Firstly, he shows his power over a few things in the next couple of chapters. And the first thing is in chapter 5, verse 1 to 19, we see the scene where Jesus now gets to the other side, and here's this demon-possessed man. And now this demon-possessed man was so demon-possessed that they couldn't even bound him with chains. When they do, he would simply break it open and go free. They could not contain him. They were so afraid of this guy. And when Jesus gets to the other side, this guy comes running to him and go like, "What do you want with us?" The demon speaking to Jesus now. And he's like, you know, and we know the story where he allows them to go into the pigs. The pigs run over the hill and they die. But what I see there is just Jesus demonstrating his power in that no matter what your spiritual state has been in the past or right now, he is the one that can deliver you. He's the God of creation, but he's the God of your spirit as well. And he can set you free. Doesn't matter, you know, what curses is coming down your bloodline or anything. He can break everything in your life and you can be set free. The interesting thing about that portion of scripture is that the people were so worried about their financial ruin that they asked Jesus to leave. And how sad is that? So Jesus left. Then we see the next scene, and we see where Jairus comes and he calls Jesus because his daughter is very sick. But in going there, we see this woman with the issue of blood that has spent all her money trying to get healed. She went to everybody that she pursued, every medical place or person that said they could help her. And here she is still with the same problem. And all she says, "If I can only touch Jesus, I will be healed." And she presses through the crowd. She's like, "Can I just get in? I just want to touch his robe." And as she does that, she gets healed. And we know that scripture says that God is our healer. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we have been healed. So here, he demonstrates his power. And I mean, can you just think of yourself in this woman's, I can't remember, I think it was like 30 years. I can be completely wrong now. How long she had this disease, and here she is. She touches Jesus' hem, and she's healed from this lingering disease I mean, we all heard Ellery's testimony, how so long she's been battling with this disease. And then I want to encourage you this morning, it doesn't matter how long you struggle with something, just press through and touch the hem of his garment. Allow him to heal you. Then the next scene, Jesus gets to the little girl. He walks in. I mean, the people are crying. And he goes like, no, man, she's just sleeping. Blows my mind the perspective of Jesus to our problems. You know, we go waves. He goes like, what waves? We go dead. He goes, no, sleeping. And he walks in. He chases them out. He takes only a few of his disciples. And he goes, little girl, get up. And I just see in that he is Lord over death. I think physical. So we're gonna quickly do the breakout rooms again for those that are zooming in for the first time. But you see, Jairus by faith said, Lord, come and touch my daughter. And yeah, that's the difference for me. It's just that practical expression of his faith. And Jesus goes in there and he transforms his life, because I cannot think he would have been the same after that ever. And every time he looked at his daughter, he would have known Jesus rose her from the dead. I still have her because of that. And then in chapter 6, verse 3 to 6, he goes to his hometown and he gets there. And what happens there? They go like, Jesus, we know you. We know who you are. And it just means that he can do no miracles. The interesting thing says they took offense at him. And I think in verse 6 it says, he marveled at their unbelief. This is his hometown. This is his people. This must have been the people that has watched him as he started his journey with his disciples and so on. And here they take offense at him. The unbelief is of such that scripture says he could only heal a few and then he left. You know, and I believe even in this time is for us that when Jesus wants to enter our situation, when he wants to come into our storm, the only thing that can hinder him from doing that is my unbelief. You know, maybe even my offense against him, because I've prayed for stuff or trusted for stuff or whatever, and it didn't come through for me, or he didn't fix it, or he didn't heal it, or whatever, and now I don't trust him anymore. So I have unbelief. And then once I have that, you know, Jesus can only do a few miracles. And then he has to go. And I don't know about you, but I'm so challenged by that, because don't we so easily become disheartened in our walk before the Lord? You know, when we pray for stuff or we trust him or, I don't know, life happens. And then we withdraw from him. It's not him withdrawing from us, it's we withdrawing from him and not allowing him to do what he wants to do in our lives. Now, in Mark, as I look at this, I see, you know, Jesus healing, I'm seeing delivering, I'm seeing him, you know, quiet the oceans, I see, you know, him raising people from the dead, healing people and so on. But the moment he encounters that unbelief, it limits him. And the only thing that is going to limit us from seeing God's incredible power being released right now is our own unbelief. And I believe this morning we need to just check our hearts and go, God, but where am I? And how can I help those around me in their journey in faith to see God's greatness and his glory at this time? You know, I need to sort of hand over that baton to them and say, but this is my God. This is what he's done. And if there's ever been a time that I think we need to reflect on what God has done in the past, it is now, to rejoice in what he's doing or has done even in our lives. So I want to conclude this because I've got a short video just on the ask Lord just to play for you just now. But I think this is the thing. This is the shift for me. And the heading for this slide is His presence and my life. Because my life actually needs to be hidden in His presence. I mustn't, with my life, sometimes come into His presence. My life needs to be completely hidden in His presence. That's the shift. And we need to understand, storms will come, fire will come, tensions will come, stuff will happen, but He is still God. If I look at Scripture, I don't see that Jesus promises us an easy walk in this world. He said, we will not be greater than our master. We will still be persecuted, etc. But the fact of the matter is His presence is here. It's with me. It's in me. It's dwelling with me. His Holy Spirit is here. I almost have to go and say, Jesus, this is my storm. Will you please wake up? Can you speak to my circumstances? We need His presence in your life. Can we trust Him with all our lives, with our future, with our storm? He is the Lord of every situation. He is our comforter. He is our strength. He is the one. You know, and I just think of this. Jesus loved us so much to die for us. He came and He died for us. Paying such a price for you and me, why will He abandon us now? The enemy wants us to believe that He will abandon us. He will not be there for us. Whatever next year holds, whatever the economists say, will He not be there for us? Can I not just put my trust in Him and say, God, I'm with You. Were You with me? I'm in You. And that is my message to you this morning. In your weakness, He is strong. He is with you. And so many times the stuff that we go through, even in my own life, when I reflect later, I just see how God used them to shape me and mold me. It wasn't nice going through them, but yet He was there with me. So this morning your life might not be going as you planned, but He is God of the storm that you find yourself in. He's the one that frees you from your bondage. He's the one that heals you. He's the one that raises from the dead. And please don't allow offense and unbelief to hinder you from seeing God's goodness, from seeing His power being revealed in your life. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You love us so much. I thank You, Father, that You showed through Jesus Christ Your power even over creation. And even as we find ourselves staring down this barrel of so much uncertainty and what's going to happen with the economy and how long is this disease going to be here, and we've got so many questions, Lord, this morning, we want to just ask Jesus that You will just come and that You will speak to the storm. And this morning as a congregation, as the sons and daughters of God, we just want to declare COVID-19, we resist You in the name of Jesus Christ. You are not welcome in our bodies. You are not welcome in this land. You are not welcome in this city. And we resist You in the name of Jesus. And every power and principality that comes with You, we just bind you and we command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare that the Lord is against you. That we, the sons and daughters of God, resist you in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every person who's struggling this morning. I pray for every fear that You will just deliver and heal this morning, that You will come, Holy Spirit, and that You will touch every heart. Lord, I thank You even in the past weeks how You have speak through the scriptures that we've received in the service and saying, but this is what the Lord is saying, and how You are our refuge, how You are the one that makes a way in the wilderness, Lord God, that brings rivers in the desert, Father God, that You are with us. And this morning we want to rise up and we want to cling to You, want to grab hold of Your garment, Father God. We want to draw strength from You this morning. We want to draw even healing for our unbelief this morning, Lord. And this morning we want to pray and we want to say, God, Help our unbelief. Strengthen our faith, Lord. And may we be the light of the world as you said we are at this time. We thank you for your scripture. We thank you for your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.